Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me by the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Paul, writing to the church in Thessalonica, had these words, wonderful words to say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're reading from verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also will sleep within Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
I want to add to those readings of John by reading a few verses this morning from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6, reading at verse 1. Acts 6 and 7 brings before us a character, a New Testament Stephen. Acts 6 and verse 1, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith or grace and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. In Acts chapter 7, we have the record of Stephen's death. When they heard these things, that is the multitude and Peter, as he recounted the history of the nation of Israel and presented to them the Messiah of Israel, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on Stephen with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. It was the 15th of February. The year was 1947. An Avianca airline bound for Quito in Ecuador crashed into the high towering peak of El Tablazo and then dropped a flaming mass of metal into a ravine far below. None of the passengers in that DC-4 aeroplane ever knew what happened. They died instantly. One of the passengers was a man by the name of Glenn Chambers from New York City. And he was on his way to begin a ministry with the Voice of the Andes. Before leaving Miami Airport earlier that day, Chambers hurriedly wrote a note to his mother on a piece of paper that he lifted from the floor of the airport terminal. That scrap piece of paper on which Glenn Chambers wrote was once an advertisement with the single word Y sprawled across the center. Between the mailing and the delivery of that letter, Chambers was killed. When the letter did arrive, there staring up at his mother was the haunting question, why? There is no question, dear friends, so tormenting as the question, why? Why does a good God allow tragedy to come to his children? Why should that young, beautiful girl be born with an incurable disease? Why should Stephen be called home at a relatively young age? Why? Are there not times when as Christian believers we have just to rest on the faithfulness of God, knowing that God is too wise to make mistakes, too loving to be unkind, and too powerful to be denied in his purposes? The hymn writer put it like this, the works and ways of God on high I cannot solve, I do not try, but though I cannot these unfold, one thing I know, to this I'll hold. Though all the world beside deny, a sinner saved by grace am I. I cannot tell you why or how, for oh, I do not understand. I only say I know, on this unshaken ground I stand. Was that not Stephen Corey's testimony? I know. He could say with Job, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He could say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed. Stephen was like this New Testament Stephen. Stephen knew that Christ was with him. Stephen knew that Christ was for him. Stephen knew that Christ was in him. It's interesting that the name Stephen comes from the Greek word Stephanos, which means a crown. In the Greek culture, it was the wreath, it was the garland that was given as a prize for victory, a public honor for distinguished servants. And my dear friends, this day, has Stephen not received the crown? Has he not heard the well done of the Master? You know, as I thought of our Stephen, I thought of this Stephen. Three things that marked his life that seemed to be mirrored in the life of Stephen Corey. First of all, there was the service he rendered. The service he rendered. This was the outward sphere of his life. This was the area that the Christian world would see. This New Testament Stephen emerges on the public scene at a critical time in the history of the church. Multiplication had led to murmuring. The result was the appointment of a 7-man body to administer the financial, the material affairs of the church. And Stephen's initial task was to wait on tables. I want you to see the service that he rendered as he commenced his work for God. Brother Stephen, we would like you to be a part of this group of men
who will be responsible for the material, the practical affairs of the church. And now we'll get some peace as we seek to study the Word of God. And Stephen smiled and accepted this responsibility with the realization that he was doing it for God. Is that not how our Stephen approached his ministry? One thing was uppermost in his mind. When he put his hands on that organ, he was doing it for the Lord. He had read the exhortation of Paul, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. We all know that he was gifted musically. As far as I was concerned, he was the best organist in Ulster. But he realized that his gift was from God, and he used his gift for the glory of God and the blessing of others. You see, he wanted his ministry, his music, to be a ministry. Stephen Corey was not in the entertainment business. He was in the edification business. The service he rendered as he commenced his work for God, the service he rendered as he continued his work for God. For this New Testament Stephen, there were the wonders that he performed. There was the word that he preached. You see, Stephen, this Stephen, knew his Bible well. Why? Acts chapter 7 is full of the Word of God. It tells us that Stephen knew Bible characters. Stephen knew Bible history. He knew the Bible's theme. He presented to these Jewish people the Christ of the Scriptures. I want to tell you, this Stephen knew his Bible. He knew if the guy in the pulpit was waffling or if he had done his homework. After leaving Drumara Reformed Presbyterian Church, Stephen started attending Ballinahinch Baptist. And as we have heard today, he already knew Hazel through Linda, but romance blossomed. And they were married in 1987. The following year, they started attending Lurgan Baptist Church. And on the second Sunday, Stephen was asked to play the organ, and he's been there ever since. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Tuesday night at the Bible class, ever faithful, ever consistent, ever present. I mean, his passion was music. After all, he named his house Octave Hall. But then isn't it one thing to start a work for God, but isn't it another thing, dear friends, to continue a work for God? But that's not all. You see, there was the service he rendered as he commenced his work for God, as he continued his work for God, but there was the service he rendered as he concluded his work for God. There are many who start doing something for Christ. There are less who continue doing something for Christ. There are few who end up doing something for Christ, but not Stephen, this Stephen, or our Stephen. Oh, the thrill of it, to be able to look back on the journey of life and say honestly, genuinely, authentically, I have fought a good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. Do you know how Stephen died? He died in harness. He died serving the Lord. He died doing the thing that he loved. Last Sunday night he was playing and singing Charles Wesley's great hymn, "And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?" 4 hours later, he was singing in the heavenly choir, "Worthy is the Lamb." I'm here to tell you today that Stephen Corey finished well. There was the service that he rendered, something else. Not only the service that he rendered, but the Savior he revealed. This wasn't the outward sphere of his life. This was the upward sphere of his life. This was the area of life that the Christless world could see. For this Stephen and our Stephen was so like the Lord. Someone has said that this Stephen had a face that shone with the look of heaven, eyes that gazed on the light of heaven, lips that spoke of the life of heaven, and knees that bowed to the Lord of heaven. You see, Stephen revealed the Lord Jesus in his living. Another translation of Acts chapter 6 and verse 8 goes like this, "And Stephen, full of grace and power," he, like Christ, was full of grace. Now, of course, we know that in the New Testament, the word grace means the unmerited, undeserved favor of God for hell-deserving sinners. But it's more than that. For in pre-Christian days, this word grace was used to describe the charm of a lady, the grace of a speech. Stephen Corey was a Christian gentleman. In his attitude, in his actions, in his reactions, he sought to portray the Lord Jesus Christ. His constant prayer was, "May the mind of Christ, my Savior, dwell in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say." There was the Savior that he revealed in his living. There was the Savior that he revealed in his dying. The last thing that Stephen gave to Hazel was a wave as they took him away to put stents in his arteries. And yet between those moments of departing from Hazel and his departure to heaven, Stephen discovered something. He discovered, first of all, that help was forthcoming. Do you know what this Stephen needed? He needed dying grace. Do you know what our Stephen needed? He needed dying grace, and he got it. The Bible says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." The ultimate is my intimate. As I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, think about it, dear Christian friend. We won't have to cross Jordan alone. We won't have to die alone. Stephen didn't die alone. The shepherd who never failed him in life never forsook him in death. Maybe I should pause for a moment. How will you die? How will you die? You know, every time we talk about death, we change the subject like switching channels on the television set. But how will you die? You see, you'll either die in Christ or without Christ. You'll either die saved or lost. You'll either die moving toward heaven, toward hell. Stephen died in Christ, and today he's with Jesus Christ. And between those moments of his departure from Hazel and his departure to heaven, Stephen knew help was forthcoming, but he knew something else. He knew that heaven was opening. This Stephen said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." Think of it, the Lord Jesus standing to welcome his servant home. Sometimes people say, "Well, what's heaven going to be like? Will we sleep? Will we eat? Will we comb our hair? How old will we be? What will we do?" My dear friends, we don't know all the answers to the questions. I don't know all the answers, and you don't know, and she doesn't know, and he doesn't know. But that doesn't bother me, for the Bible says, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Let me tell you what heaven's going to be like. Are you ready for it? It's going to be the absence of all that is evil, and the presence of all that is good. It's going to be all that the loving heart of God can conceive, and all that the omnipotent hand of God can prepare. It's going to be glory, glory, glory. Glory here and glory there and glory everywhere. For when by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory for me. There was the service that he rendered. There was the Savior that he revealed. Finally, there was the secret that he realized. This wasn't the outward sphere. This wasn't the upward sphere. This was the inward sphere. This was the area of life that only Christ could see. Of this Stephen, we read that he was a man full of the Holy Ghost outside of Barnabas. Stephen is the only man who bears that distinction. He was full of the Holy Ghost. God had constant control of Stephen's life. You know, when I think of Stephen Curry today, I realize that the Lord changed Stephen initially. That was his salvation. Brought up in the vicinity of Dromara, reared in a godly home by a godly father and mother who sang to him the songs of Zion and whispered in his ear the old, old story of Jesus and his love. It may interest you to know today that Stephen was playing before he was speaking. Isn't that amazing? At 2 years of age, his little hands and feet were moving. He was playing before he was speaking. Stephen was saved in the Sunday school of Dromara Reformed Presbyterian Church. Coming from Covenanter stock, he knew that once in Christ forever, nothing from his love can sever. He was changed initially. What about you? Wonder, are you changed? Are you transformed by the grace of God? I wonder today, do you recognize that you are a sinner by nature, a sinner by choice, a sinner by practice? Do you realize, dear unconverted friend today, that your sin will take you to hell, but God loves you, not your sin, but your soul? And Christ died for you, and through his death and precious blood, he opened a way into the presence of God. Today, there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open where you can go in at Calvary's cross, is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. You know, the last gospel message that Stephen heard on Sunday night was so simple. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord changed Stephen initially. That was his salvation. But listen, the Lord controlled Stephen continually. That was his sanctification. Why did he have a lovely touch on the organ? He was under the control of the Spirit of God. Why was his music so timely, so appropriate? He was under the control of the Spirit of God. He had said, take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. The Lord changed Stephen initially. That was his salvation. The Lord controlled Stephen continually. That was his sanctification. The Lord called Stephen suddenly. That was his glorification. Instant death, but instant glory. I was thinking about that high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus, Father. Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory. That's what Stephen's doing just now. He's beholding the glory of the Lord face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold him? Jesus Christ, who died for me. I don't know why the Lord called Stephen home so suddenly. The Bible says the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. The mysteries of providence. But do you remember what I told you about Glenn Chambers, who
scribbled that little note to his mother before his plane crashed. Do you know what he had written on that note? God is too kind to do anything cruel, too wise to make a mistake, too deep to explain himself. When Stephen was 8 years of age, his aunt received the MBE for services to nursing. She took Stephen with her to Buckingham Palace. He saw the Queen on Sunday night. The Lord called Stephen to the Father's house, and he saw the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he's going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Stephen, it was an honor to work with you. Your toil is ended, your rest begun. Today we praise God for you. Tomorrow we shall praise God with you. Stephen, we do not say goodbye. We only say goodnight. We'll see you in the morning when the day break and the shadows all flee away. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts.